All right, we're back. Welcome back. I'm Scott J. Peterson from Liquid Daffodil, sitting here with one of my best buddies at this point, one of my favorite people, Jeff Procise from Wintellect. How's it going?
Going really well. I think we're halfway through here.
And we are, and it's been fast moving.
And the best is yet to come, right?
The best is yet to come. So the Azure Functions stuff is great, and we've been getting a lot of great questions about Azure Functions. Remember, if you've got questions about anything that we're talking about, go out there on the chat. There's a bunch of great people standing by that can answer these representatives, that can answer all kinds of these questions. And these are really good questions. People are asking stuff like, you know, why would I use a function versus an Azure web job, or, you know, things like that. Or a lot of specifics about Azure Functions from this last one that has me excited, because this means you guys are thinking about Azure Functions and how you can start implementing them. And my guess is tomorrow you'll have 20 more ideas about how you can do this. This Azure Functions have actually become part of every solution for me at this point, if I can help it. But in this session, we're going to talk about Power BI and Office Graph. Kind of feels like it's two things that are weird to put together, but they're not. Because Power BI is talking about intelligence, usually data intelligence, business intelligence, visualizations, creating information in an organization. And Office Graph has been related to grabbing that information from an organization in a different way. So they're two different things that primarily serve to say the same purpose. But if we check it out, just for those of you that are just joining us or coming back to these sessions, here's what we've done so far. We've created this really cool ASP.NET core app. It's a bootstrap.NET core app that we've put out there called Tagger. It's available. You guys can hit it. I see most people that are hitting are having a great time hitting it. Every once in a while, somebody's having something goofy happen. But it's called Tagger, and it lets you caption and tag your images, and we're kind of building it as we go. So one thing that people have been saying is, I uploaded all these great images, I saw the results of all these images, but then when I left the website and did something else and came back, I can't find my images. Yes, we know that's by design. What we're going to do maybe a little later is put in some search so you can go back and search for your images and let you upload them or save them yourself. But so if you're thinking I did something wrong or something's broken because you can't see a history of your images, well, that's by design. But so then we went through and we moved stuff over and talked about especially SQL Server data tools in some other sessions. Last session, we moved everything to Azure Functions and talked about cognitive services, most specifically computer vision API that we're using heavily. And now we're up to this session 4, Power BI and Office Graph. So this is a marketing slide. You guys can show this up here if you want. This is a marketing slide. It's in your decks. Even though it's a marketing slide, I think Power BI is one of two or three or four things that is really changing the landscape from my perspective. Remember, Liquid Daffodil does consumer-based apps for fun, but I earn a living in my company. In my company, we create medium to large scale solutions for very large companies. Very often it's gas and oil, because I'm in Houston, but large companies and developers in these companies, when I'm on projects, they're always struggling with business intelligence. How do I show it? SQL Server reporting services, or we've got these roll your own solutions. We have all this data. They create this custom dashboard that they're on a, you know, some 6-month rollout. All of this stuff can just be handled now with Power BI. It's just a huge deal.
Is it fair to say that Power BI is maybe like Azure Functions? It's not something that most developers are aware of. That's my experience. And yet it's incredible because you can do so much in terms of extracting meaning from data, visualizing the data, presenting the data, without writing a lot of code to do it. Now, I'll tell you one place where I've seen it used very well. In the research community and the data science community, where you have folks who know data science very well, they're not necessarily software developers, but they want visualizations. They want to get meaning from the data. I could take this, for example, and hook it up to Azure Stream Analytics. So I feed a real-time data stream from hundreds of thousands of IoT devices into Azure Stream Analytics. I do Stream Analytics queries there, which are very similar to SQL queries, to pull information from the data. But then what do I do with the output from Stream Analytics? Well, one thing you could do is drop it into blob storage. But in a lot of cases, you want some real-time indication of what's mm-hmm. happening. Maybe you're using Stream Analytics to do fraud detection, for example. So rather than, and maybe I shouldn't say this, pay a developer a bunch of money to go write a custom dashboard, you don't have to be a developer. You can create that dashboard in Power BI and do some pretty amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. In fact, what I'm finding is if I have integrity, and I'm a developer that has integrity, I'm finding more often than not now, I will get potential clients or organizations that come to me and want something, and I have to honestly say, you already actually own something that will do exactly that or that, or here are the ways that you can make these pieces already fit together. And as developers, this is not just a front end for dashboards. I mean, this is one of two or three topics I wish I had 4 hours for, because Power BI is phenomenal. In fact, if we go to this slide, let's talk about some of the variations that we're looking at with Power BI, because some of these terms get thrown around a lot, and Power BI, like a lot of these things, is a growing, living product. I think Power BI Desktop, for example, is on monthly updates no matter what. But this is the way that it breaks down. We've got Power BI services. We're talking about really the way that the documentation refers to it. There's some other ways to talk about it. But Power BI services are really web-based. Most of the things that you'll see are related to ultimately Power BI services that are web-based. Even if you're using other tools, they're going to surface themselves up into Power BI services. Power BI services is available for all platforms, but you're limited in your design tools up there if you're using it there. So you can do all your basic things, but you're a little bit limited there. You can do dashboards and you can do publishing. But the cool piece for Power admins, developers or Power admins, Power users, is really in Power BI Desktop. And so Power BI Desktop is not just a desktop version of the website. Power BI Desktop, actually, they share very few features. Power BI Desktop gives us the ability to bring in all kinds of crazy data, custom queries, whatever we want to do. This is very similar to some of the things you used to be able to do in Excel with Power BI. And essentially, you create all this really cool stuff, and then you publish it up to, in these PBIX packages or other scenarios, you publish it up to services to make available. So you have to, if you have to do a ton of heavy lifting, you would do it in Power BI Desktop, and then you could publish it up to Power BI services. There's also a mobile version of Power BI available that's actually getting better and better, cooler and cooler. But this gives us the ability to have the cross-platform sort of report viewers where we can navigate, drill down, everything else. And this is actually a big piece, because what I found is today, in most organizations, the stakeholders, decision makers, head honchos, you know, big wigs, actually just want to see everything on their mobile phone. They just want to look on their phone, see the data that they want, know that it's fresh and real time. And the cool thing for developers is that developers don't have to do anything different. It just will show up in Power BI Mobile. And then there's one other piece that is 100% developer focused, and that is Power BI Embedded. Power BI Embedded right now is available. The easiest way is through the Azure portal. This is another service you'd actually spin up, just like you'd spin up a web app, you'd spin up a Power BI Embedded service, and then you have keys and things associated with that. And the cool thing about Power BI Embedded is almost everything you could do through Power BI services in the web, you can do programmatically. So you could say, I want to create this report, this data source, I want to add these tiles, I want to create this dashboard. You could do all of that programmatically and then expose it out to users. This opens up some opportunities to have some real dynamic, customized, targeted content created without ever even getting into the UI. So everything, you could do all this with Power BI Embedded and never even touch the UI. It also has the advantage of letting us create what we're calling custom visuals, Power BI custom visuals. So as you know, Jeff, I've done a lot of SharePoint development in my career. And in SharePoint development, I always had people say, we have this column of this specific type of data, but we want to visualize it in this way that's not out of the box, some kind of a KPI or whatever. We want to visualize it in a way that's not supported. Can you create that? And in the SharePoint world, we'd create this sort of custom column and have that little visualization in there. The same concept is in Power BI. If your organization or you just personally feel like you want to view information in some unique way, You can do that with Power BI Embedded. You can create the custom visualizations. So right now there's this visualization that has this concept of a slicer, they call it. A slicer, you can throw a slicer on and it will basically filter all of the information in a report based on this slice of data that the first version of that was just like a filter on customers, right? Well, I noticed that they just released in the last update this date time slicer now. So my guess is somebody was out there and said, man, I love this slicer, but it's not available. I want to do it by date and time. And they probably created a custom visualization, or Microsoft said, hey, we want to do this. Here's an example of that, is that people just say, I want to have it, create a custom visualization that way. All right, Power BI data services. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but I'm just going to say at this point, you can pretty much connect any data that you want.
As long as it comes from Microsoft, right?
No, in fact, actually the most recent list, if you look, most of the data sources in here actually aren't even Microsoft data sources. You can connect everything that's Microsoft.
DB2, PostgreSQL.
Yep, yep.
You mentioned the other day, MailChimp.
Yep,
I saw that in the list. My company actually uses MailChimp, mm-hmm. and to think that I think there's something like 60 data connectors now available, maybe more than that, because the count keeps growing. But it's almost a case of any data source that anyone could think of, there's probably a way to connect to it.
Yeah, and there really is. And there's even ways that if it's not directly supported, I've found that there's ways that I can still make it work. That's how powerful these things are. A couple that I want to call out that are fairly new are just, again, connecting to blob storage now for Power BI. Also, you mentioned data scientists. There's now support for R scripts in here. We can just copy and paste that stuff in or write them in there. And there's actually ways to create your own custom data sources. It's not totally documented, but this tells me that the Power BI folks, the Power BI team, that they're actively working on having all kinds of support out here. So one thing that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned is Power BI Desktop is not cross-platform. This is Windows only. Wanted to make sure that I got that in there. My hope is that we'll see it for other platforms. We'll see.
I hope we do too. And all the other parts of Power BI, Power BI Services, for example, is serviced through a browser, through a portal, so it's cross-platform. But Power BI Desktop, which in some ways is the jewel of the family, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you said, it's so incredibly powerful, is at least currently, it's a Windows-only product.
Mm-hmm. So one of the cool things you mentioned, and this is one of my favorite things in this demo, was the idea of custom streaming data. You were talking about analytics and bringing that data in and deciding what that looks like. Let me just clarify a couple of terms here that the documentation uses that were confusing to me, and as I talked to other developers, have been confusing to them. A lot of times in the documentation, you hear the word real time, where things are surfaced real time, the data is real time, but you go and you create the visualization, you connect to the data, and the data needs to be refreshed to be updated. And so really what this means in the Power BI world is that it has the potential to grab data, fresh data, on some kind of a schedule. And it's really in comparison to a snapshot of data. So we may have data that's brought in one time, it's never been altered, or we're never going to update it. If we refresh the report all day long, it's just going to show us that static data. Real-time data is going to just connect to a live data source, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be live streaming. We're not going to be able to sit and watch those numbers come in. But we have custom streaming data that will let us do that. And one of the things that I'm going to show in this demo in a little bit is how easy it is to do this. Because this is one of the things that when folks go out, when developers go out and they say, I would love to have a report that sits and shows me a line chart, a graph or line chart of real-time data coming through, or a ticker that's just showing real-time data, there's so much power and opportunity there that those examples tend to be complicated. They're introducing, you know, stream analytics, or they're introducing all these other elements. What I'm going to show you guys is that all you have to do is input a couple of values into Power BI and write one line of code, and you can have your own real-time custom streaming data set coming through. Some of the limitations with these real-time custom streaming set data sets is that you're only going to support some rudimentary types. So this would be, in general, date, time, number, text, that kind of stuff. Because when you think about real-time data coming through, most of the time you're thinking about tickers or things like that. My guess is down the line we may see more support for more complex things like geographies. Right now, although I've been able to pull it off, it's a little bit, I have to jump through a lot of hoops to get a real-time map updating. It doesn't always work the way that we want, but that kind of stuff is cool. But you know, I can see that that's coming down. So there's some limitations in the types and the visualizations. But what we're going to show is how we can get that real-time information immediately to get surfaced. So here's some words that I want everybody to be familiar with. We'll just brush through them quickly. Visualizations, data sets, reports, dashboards, tiles. So visualizations are each single type of element, like that type of chart, pie chart, table, whatever. Data sets are any kind of data that you bring in. Everything gets built into a report in general. No, most things get built into a report in general. And then you add tiles to a dashboard. Okay. So if those things aren't clear, you're going to have to go out and work with Power BI for a little bit. But these terms will get thrown out around all the time. And one of the reasons why these are so important, because your ability to share data not only depends on the type of data it is, but also on the way you have exposed the data in a tile report or dashboard. So for example, you could be in a report and something's not able to be shared for public consumption, but maybe if you stick it in a dashboard, it will be. And so it's going to be important for us to understand that. So here's what I want to do in this demo, Jeff, is I want to go out into Power BI. I'm going to go into Power BI services first, and I'm going to connect to Power BI to some of our real-time data out there. For example, I know that we're getting tons and tons of uploads, and there's geography. Remember, I was capturing that longitude, latitude a long time ago. So yeah. I'm going to connect to that. We'll bring in that information. If I have time, here's where I'm going to plug in some application insight data too, because we can have that in there. So in my mind, this is perfect marketing material for a marketing department, some of the stuff we're pulling in. Or I think the example I might use will just be browser breakdown. It'd be fun just to see a browser breakdown, right? What's the pie chart of the browser breakdown or something? We could throw that in. And then I'm going to show you guys how easy it is to connect a live streaming tile in a dashboard to live streaming data. And we'll just do that and run it. We're going to add those visualizations to some reports, dashboards, and then I'm actually going to embed this in a report in our app so that then we could see this report in our app. So let's just do that. Let's flip over to Power BI. We'll log in there. So that's going to be at app.powerbi.com. And so just to clarify, this is Power BI services. This is the web Power BI services. And the first thing I'm going to do is say get data, and I'm going to say database. And I'm actually going to select Azure SQL Data Warehouse. We can talk about why I'm doing that another time, but I'm just going to select that. And I know, for example, that we have that Windows database out there, SQL Server 2016 running on Windows. And I know that that's called windowsdb.tagger.it, and I love tacos or something like that, right? Wait, what did I put back? On that last screen, what did I put there? Let's see, we have windowsdb.tagger.it and the database tagger. And we've got tagger admin and I love tacos. And now it's importing the data. And you'll notice that we have this new data set that gets set up there, Tagger. And so the first thing that we could do here is we could just add a map not super attractive here, but we can go to this uploads data and we can say, let's add latitude, longitude, count of rows. And this will give us the ability to see kind of the breakdown. Wow, lots from this area in here. Oh, those are all zero. That makes sense. Here's all the people that didn't accept to have their location. But now we're seeing this great breakdown.
So we're seeing where the images are being uploaded from.
Yeah,
right?
So this is pretty cool. So this is showing us now where the images are being uploaded from around the world. This big thing here says that there's, you know, 36 people, either it couldn't get their longitude, latitude, or they refused or something like that. But all these others, this is actually pretty amazing. We've got people watching us that are uploading from all over the place in the world here. So that's pretty cool. So that's a cool visualization to stick up there. One other cool one that we can connect to is I'll just put a table in here and be fun to look at a table that contain the tags. So I can just put a label and the count of rows for the tags. So this is going to give us a breakdown of what tags, when people upload images, what the tags are that are coming here. But this is boring. There's a better way to look at this, I think. Was that the one, the tree map? Yeah, there we go. So this is kind of like a tag cloud a little bit. This is showing us a breakdown now based on the size of how many images are uploaded that have that tag. So for example, we see that there are 622 images that have been uploaded have been tagged with outdoor. So it's kind of cool. So I thought that this would be fun. This would be fun for us to stick these just in a report. We'll just say save there for now. And we'll call this report image activity. Yeah, let's call this upload activity. And we'll say save. And now there's a couple things that we can do here at this point. So notice that we have publish to web. We can do publish to web. In fact, I'm going to do this publish to web. We're going to get the code here. I'll stick it in over in Visual Studio, and then we'll come back and show the live streaming stuff that's so cool. Whoops, I didn't want to export that. So apparently there's export to PowerPoint in preview that's there now. So this is just going to give a quick warning. We'll say cancel on that. Going to give a quick warning that people are going to be able to see this code. Okay, create it. And it's going to say, what size do you want it? It's going to give you some default sizes. Don't freak out if you want this a different size. All this is doing is setting the iframe for you here. So I'm just going to copy that from the iframe. Let's go back over to our solution, and I'll open up a view. And I've got this page called Reports. And I'm going to pop in this new iframe I've created there. But Reports is not available for the menu. So let me go ahead and add in Reports. Now we're back. Now we're just back in old school MVC with Razor here. So I'm going to pull up, let's see, navbar text. And we'll add this menu item in here now so that we can pull up reports. And I'll stick it in the sidebar. So this is a Bootstrap, ASP.NET Core Bootstrap app. So if it's on a mobile device or a smaller one, it's going to have this smaller menu that pops up. So we'll stick that in that menu out there as well. We'll put that in debug. So just as a note, sometimes that crashes when you go from release to debug mode, but it didn't. So now, just to clarify, here's what we've got. We went out to Power BI, connected to some of that live data, real-time data source. Even though it's not updated immediately, it's still considered real-time data. It's in 2016, and then we've decided to share that whole thing or embed that whole thing in a page in our app. So now when we pull this up, if I remember to do everything correctly, we ought to have a new menu here called Reports. And when we click on Reports, we should be able to see that the latest version of that data, because when we load the page, it's basically going to refresh it. It's going to be the latest version of that page. And I have to admit, it might not be formatted the best. It might look kind of crummy on this page. We'll just see. Got that new reports icon out there using the cool font, awesome icon. Okay, so there we've got it. So now we've got this data in here, and you see that this is all interactive. Maybe a little bit small on your screen there, but you'll see that this is all the latest data, latest information. And I can actually send these into the focus mode where we're only paying attention to that. So I've got all this cool navigation. Now you saw that this was just an iframe, right? So that's what's cool about it.
Yeah.
I thought iframes were gonna go away, but they haven't. In fact, they've just gotten more popular. Iframes have gotten more popular. But so we can do that, and we can even just say make that even bigger. So I'm gonna allow that once. Just allow that. Okay, so that doesn't like what I'm doing there, so I'll just say back to the report. We'll just do something to say back to the report. All right, we'll just close that window because it just didn't like that. Remember, this is RC. We're in demo mode here, guys. Okay, so that was pretty cool that we stuck that report in there, but I promised that we'd show how easy it is to do live streaming. One thing I wanted to show you here is I've got this helper. We're not using this code now, but I have this little method that shows how easy this is to connect to a live stream. We're going to come back to this, but one thing I want you to notice here is that this is actually just really one line of code. I'm only doing a post right here. I'm building this stuff up, but it's really just one line of code. I'm doing a post to a URL. Let's see how we create that URL. So if I were then wanting to save this to a dashboard, I could say pin live page, and I could say new dashboard, and I'll call this upload activity. So it's basically going to pin this content to a new dashboard. You'll see how a new dashboard showed up here. Now I'm in a new dashboard. I have this add tile up here. Remember, we're still in the web. We're in ad services. I've got this new add tile up here. I can select some things up here, but I can also select custom streaming data. And I say next, and it says add streaming data set. So I'm just going to select that so that everybody sees what happens. We have two options here, and I'm guessing that this is going to grow as well. We can say select a streaming data set from PubNub. PubNub is a service that can help you create these APIs so that you can do this sort of thing. But we also have the ability to just select API. If I select API, you guys are going to be amazed at how simple this is. So let's just say I called this new streaming data set, site activity 2. And now I'm going to build what I want my JSON data to look like. So I'm just going to say TS as a timestamp, and I'm just going to say count as a number. And it's going to show me the JSON data. If I want to keep this historically, show a long trend of data, I can say historic data analysis on. But it's going to show me what the JSON data is going to need to look like to send it to this Power BI API. And then all I do is just say create. It's going to create that, and it's going to show me what that data needs to look like in raw, curl, or PowerShell. And it's going to give me a URL, a push URL. One thing I want you to notice in these URLs when you do them, it's going to say beta. This is in beta preview still, but super fully functional at this point. All I'd have to do is just copy that push URL and put it into this analytics URL I have right here. And then the payload that I send over is just that JSON data. So you'll see in this example we're going to look at in a little bit, I'm sending over a JSON data that's got latitude, longitude, count, and TS. So all I'm doing is just building up this little tiny JSON packet. In fact, in this example, I'm sending longitude, latitude, but I don't really need to do that. I just might want to use it later, but all I need is count and timestamp. So if I go back here, I'll say done, but I don't really care about that one. I'm actually going to delete that one. I've got a couple we already set up here. So one of them is site activity. I'm going to go back to our dashboard now that you know how to set it up. And I've got one that is just set up so it's going to monitor site activity in the code. And the code that's being run out there live, every time somebody loads the first page on Tagger, it's going to increment that number. So let's see if we can get this work in here. This is all crossed my fingers because I didn't even know we were going to go out live with this. But now that we're out there, I'm going to say custom streaming data. I'm going to connect to this site activity that I created a little bit earlier. And I have some visualization types here. This is what I was referring to as sort of rudimentary visualizations here. I could do a card, line chart, clustered bar chart, clustered column chart, or a gauge. I'm not going to show the gauge, but the gauge is actually pretty cool for something like this. So you sort of see an up and down motion in the gauge for activity. I'm just going to select a card here. And this card is really just going to be like a counter, for example, that's going to be shown. We'll say add a value, and all I'm going to add here from that API is just count. We'll call this site activity apply, and we'll give that a second there. Oh, okay, so this is already going live. So what's happening is that in the app, when you guys are loading up Tagger, every time someone around the world is loading that first page, I think it's in, might be an index, might be in the home controller. Anyway, every time somebody loads that up, it's adding a new site activity. So this is just cumulative from the time that I added this tile. It started at zero. And if we just watch this go up every single time that that's happening. So the cool thing here is that this is real-time streaming data that's coming from an ASP.NET Core application. I'm not having to use SignalR or anything like that, which is important because SignalR is not yet supported in ASP.NET Core. Probably will be moving forward, but it's not yet. Another thing that I can do here is I can say add a tile, custom streaming data, and I can select image uploads and say next. And for this one, maybe I want a clustered column chart. We'll add an axis here of the timestamp. I'm not going to worry about a legend, but we'll show a value of the count. So this is the one that's going to come through with longitude, latitude. I'm not going to worry about anything else. We'll call this image uploads, and we'll say apply. And now we've got this, kind of move this over here, rearrange them. Now we've got this chart for image uploads, but I haven't added the code to send any streaming data over there. Let's go back over to the portal. Add one more thing here that I've got commented out so that we'll start getting real-time activity. So the cool thing is here is now I'm just going to go back out to that Azure function. Got a whole bunch of resources out here, but we'll just open up that Tagger function.
I want to reiterate something you said earlier, Scott, also, and that is that very, very soon these Azure functions will be available through Visual Studio 2017, so you can get to them that way, or you can get to them through the Azure portal, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, correct. So that this is related to the issue that I talked about earlier with the Cloud Explorer. So you can actually go get to these now. If you can access this node in Cloud Explorer, you can open these up. Ultimately, you will be able to debug them remotely and everything else, but it's not quite ready for prime time. If you can get it working, great, but it's not quite ready for prime time yet. So what I've done is I've actually uncommented this line of code that says send stream to analytics async, and that's going to call this code right here. Notice how this is just that URL, that same URL, and I'm just passing the data. We looked at this earlier in the app, but I'm not using it anymore in the app because now every time somebody uploads something, it's just happening during the function. And then I'm just sending in 0.0 for this function for longitude, latitude, because I don't really care about tracking it here. So if we save that and take a look at that over in Power BI, okay, so you see how we're actually getting activity already. So this is where people ought to clap, because I'm telling you right now, I had no idea if I was going to get this working. So for those of you that are out there, this is really cool, because now I'm able to see image uploads, and I'm able to see how many tags and everything are coming across, and this is all active in real time based on the data that's coming over. So you have to admit, this is super cool. So what I'm showing here is really pretty basic. How long did it take me to do? Any one of these was about 20 seconds, right? Took me almost no time at all, especially this real-time streaming. So imagine all of these opportunities to send real-time streaming data across the wire there. So that's a lot, but we haven't even talked about Graph yet, Microsoft Graph. What do you think? You want to flip back over and talk about Graph?
Yeah, I think so. And by the way, if you've never seen Power BI before, it's fair to say you just scratched the surface there. There is so much more that you can do. And going into Power BI Desktop, where you have the power to formulate queries and stuff like that, just all kinds of cool stuff. So if you've never seen it before, maybe something you want to take a look at.
Yeah, I agree. So one thing that we're running out of time, one thing that I didn't show that's really cool that I want to show that you guys can try yourself now where you're at is I keep saying I'm going to bring this application insights data into Power BI. Maybe after this session, maybe we'll do that, but you know, it's really easy and cool to do. We would have used Power BI Desktop to do that. I would have brought it in, advanced query, bring that content in, show it in there, but you guys get the point. But as Jeff mentioned, this is very much just scratching the surface. This probably could be a 3 or 4 hour Power BI session if we wanted to really get into it. So, but that's enough to wet their whistle, especially you guys have to admit, that was so easy to create custom real-time streaming. By the way, Azure really wasn't involved there if we didn't want it to. It was just calling a URL. Just calling a URL to the API that we set up. Okay, so Office Graph. I'm excited to talk about Office Graph. There's a bunch of reasons. Number one, I've actually been using Office Graph for about 2 years before it was in beta, been using Office Graph, because I do a lot of corporate work. And Office Graph has come a long way. So one of the cool things about Office Graph as it existed previously was this ability to go out in an organization or anywhere that you point it to and kind of use intelligence and analysis to aggregate what matters to certain people based on context. So the original examples I used to always use is if I were a manager, I could use Office Graph, the power of Office Graph to say, show me everything that my direct reports are working on, or show me all the Yammer threads or social threads that they're working on. And Microsoft sort of rolled this up, surfaced this information in Delve. If you're familiar with Delve, that's part of Office 365. There's now a Delve app, I believe, available. But all of this was sort of related to Delve. I use it all the time, but one of the cool new changes with Office Graph is this now goes across consumer lines. So the design, the concept for Office Graph is that we're going to be able to access any of this information through a single endpoint across all Microsoft services, you know, across SharePoint, across Planner, across OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, you know, you can use Active Directory, Exchange, whatever you want, any kind of information like that. Except now, they've added in stuff like things that you used to have to do with what used to be the SkyDrive SDK or API, then the OneDrive API, Live SDK. A whole bunch of that stuff is now accessed through Graph. And this is actually what we're going to show today. So this slide is just going to just tell you how incredible it is that this is all cross-platform and there's SDKs for everything else. But I don't care. Here's the part that I care about. I'm a developer. I care about what developers want. And here's one of the things that the data has shown about Office Graph and what developers actually want. So everything I just explained about Office Graph is really cool. This intelligence and this ability to go out and derive information that is deemed important for you. But what they've shown is what people want to use these tools for right now in their apps is still overwhelmingly, they want to access files easily, and then secondarily, people. So this is why this is cool for me, because it used to be a pain in the buns to say I've got data in SharePoint, I've got it in OneDrive for Business, I've got it in OneDrive, are the profiles here, how do I access this, do I use the OneDrive SDK, the Live SDK, the Graph, all these things. Now it's just all in one endpoint. This is all Graph now. So you can imagine if you were using Live, you know, OneDrive SDK or APIs or REST APIs or any of that kind of stuff. Now you can use Graph for all of it to access files and people information. And that's exactly what we're going to show here. So for the target resources right now that are currently available, I think these are all out of preview now. These should all be fully available to everyone. We can talk to, you can use Office Graph to talk to users, People and Social, which is not always the same. OneDrive, Excel, Outlook, Groups, Directory, Tasks, SharePoint. There's other ones that are still in preview, but all through the same endpoint with the same authentication. And we can do this against school accounts, organizational accounts, business accounts, and now consumer accounts. This is why this is a big deal, using, for example, your Microsoft ID. So I don't have to rewrite different code if I want to access consumer information versus inside a business. It's all going to be the same code. So what I'm going to show, what I'd love to show in this example, Jeff, is not all of the cool stuff that's been shown over and over and over and over and over and over and over about Graph talking to in an organization. I want to show the ability for us to now authenticate to Office Graph as a consumer and upload to OneDrive using the new special app folder. How does that sound?
Sounds great. I tell you what, a year ago, if you had said, hey, let me show you something cool about Microsoft Graph or Office Graph, as a developer, my eyes probably would have glazed over. But what they've done, very, very cool. I mean, I think back to what it used to take to access OneDrive programmatically. Mm-hmm. Much, much better than it used to be. So yeah, let's see it. Let's see if it actually works.
Great. So here's what we're going to do. There's a couple of working parts in here. We're going to look at app permissions and scopes, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the way that we've designed authentication in this app. This isn't the only way that you can do it, but we're going to explain why we did it a certain way, and we're going to add a feature to the app to then allow users to, once they've uploaded images, we're going to let them save them to their OneDrive. So this is going to be a really cool thing because we mentioned earlier, right now you can't even see your images once you leave. You see them that one time and you can't do anything with them. It's all just kind of for fun. We knew that. We knew you'd be annoyed by that, that you'd want to keep those images. So what we're going to add to this is the ability for you to, once you've tagged and captioned images, we're going to add a button for you to upload these to your own OneDrive, and when they upload to OneDrive, they're going to be tagged and captioned. This is a big deal because now they are immediately indexed and searchable. So if you want to search for boats, you can just go to OneDrive and search boats, or on Windows 10, you can just say boats, and it's going to automatically find those images that have been tagged through Tagger for you, if this works, right? Again, we're living seat of our pants. We don't know if any of this is going to work.
Seat of our pants. I'm guessing this is going to, what, take 400, 500 lines of code?
It's going to take almost no code. So there's going to be a couple things I want to show you first. One of them is where we get and configure scopes. And the reason I'm going to do this is because one of the super cool features of Azure App Services is this concept that's often referred to as Easy Auth, the ability to say, I want authentication. You configure it right in the portal. You can connect to Microsoft or Google or Facebook or Twitter. I have all these authentication mechanisms right at the app service. We're not doing that here for two reasons. Number one is I only want people to log in and access and talk to their OneDrive. But the primary reason is that the Azure portal, at least as of last night, does not currently support these special Office Graph permissions that we're using here. So you can do it through the legacy endpoints, but not through the Office Graph endpoints that I've seen. So we're going to do it that way. And so we're going to set these graph permissions. We've got files.readwrite.appfolder and user.read. And this is going to give us the ability. So if you're familiar with OAuth and the way these processes work, what happens is somebody goes and they say click to log in. It's going to want their Microsoft ID. And then the first time they do, it's going to show them a box that says this app is going to do X. This is going to give us the ability to read the user's first name from their profile and show it. And then this is going to give us the ability to have content uploaded to a special app folder. So this is something that's fairly recent in OneDrive. Every app now can have its own special app folder. And an app folder, so in this example, it'll be Tagger. When you go to OneDrive, there'll be an apps folder. And in the apps folder, there'll be this new Tagger folder. And we can communicate directly with that folder. This is a great way to maintain state, kind of move into this model for all things. UWP kind of uses this too if you want it, to have roaming information that goes everywhere because it's all tied back to your OneDrive. So we've got this app. It's a great place to have some semi-permanent storage. if you need it to be. So this is where we set this information is back in the Microsoft Application Registration Portal. I'm setting these scopes here. And if we flip back over to the solution, I'm going to load up a controller. We'll say show all files. And I've got this auth controller. And those of you that are old school MVC people will see this and you'll feel really comfortable because I'm just doing this the old fancy legacy way just so that you see I can integrate all of these. I don't have to migrate to all these newest technologies in order to take advantage of Visual Studio 2017 and ASP.NET Core. If I want to use some of these legacy sort of scenarios, I can do that. So you'll notice here I've just got this method that the route is labeled as API auth home, and then I've just got this redirect that's API auth receive token. And this is where I'm just pulling up that OAuth box. If we go back here and look at these redirect URLs, you'll see I've got this localhost, and then at Tagger, you see that I've got this API auth receive token. So it's a very simple process here. But in order to log in, we're going to have to add a couple of things now to our views. So we'll take this nav bar here, and I'll open up index. And I've got this file here. I'll copy and paste that code and we'll stick that in there. We're going to add a new menu item and have it load up in one of our views that is going to give us the ability to click and log in. So we'll add that there and we'll add it to the sidebar. And so here's what should happen, Jeff. We'll hope that this happens here. So now when people upload images, or when they go to the site. Now if they choose to log in first, it should prompt them for permission. We'll see. Should prompt them for permission. Show them what Tagger is going to access. It will log them in. It will grab the first name from their profile. And then it should now start showing a download button. If they upload an image, it should show a download button. And when they click the button, here's the cool part. We're going to keep our fingers crossed. It should automatically take that image with all the tags, captioning, everything, and stick it into OneDrive automatically with all those tags so that they're immediately indexed. In fact, let's just go over. I'm going to open up OneDrive over here. And we'll go right into that apps folder. We'll make sure that there's not an image in there that we've already uploaded. We don't want any duplicates. Okay, so I kind of see what images are up there. So we'll go in here and see. Now we have this new sign-in. We added that reports earlier. Now I've got this new sign-in. I'll say sign-in. And so right here, notice that it's prompting me for corporate or personal. I'm going to use my personal Microsoft account.
The same experience you get when you log into the Azure portal or a number of other Microsoft services, right?
Yep.
I love it.
And so it's just going to prompt me, and nobody should be surprised by this box. I just want to show that we're doing this through Graph and not through the OneDrive SDK. It's saying it's going to access your OneDrive files, and it's going to read your profile. I'm going to say yes. It's going to go out. This process is then going to go out and read, and it knows that I'm Scott. So you would load it up. It's Jeff. Anybody loads it up, it's going to have their first name. And now if I upload a file, I want to pick one we didn't have. So I bet we don't have these apples. Make sure we don't have any apples in there. Okay, no apples. So I'll upload those apples. We'll wait for that to get captioned. And remember, this is actually immediate in real life. I've got a listener listening to that other blob storage so that it can go through that process and then finish that up there. So there it goes. So I like that it calls it a pile of fruit. That's accurate.
That's accurate.
This is a pile of fruit. You see that we're all tagged and everything else. But now notice I've got this new download. Here is where I'm just going to cross my fingers. So I'm going to click download. What should happen is it should automatically take this tagged image, stick it in OneDrive for me based on that. So there it goes. Oh, it says your image has been tagged and uploaded to OneDrive successfully up there. That gives me hope. So this is where if we were in a live audience, I would want them to clap after I click F5 and refresh. So I'm going to click F5 and refresh. If we have apples out here, look at that, we do. So yeah, the sound of one hand clapping. I'm hearing clapping on my headset as well. So, but this is not that big of a deal. Oh, wow, you stuck an image out in OneDrive, but it's not just that. If I go to the details for this, holy smokes, can you guys see over here on the right hand, is it my right hand? The right hand side, I've got a pile of fruit. And look at all those tags that are already up there with this. This is cool. You guys have to admit that this is super cool. So this I'm doing through graph. This, you've never seen a graph scenario probably like this yet. It's all been business, which is boring. Business and corporate-y. So what do you think about this, Jeff?
Pretty cool. So especially bringing those tags over there, that I didn't quite expect that, to be honest. Those are the tags being generated by Cognitive Services, Computer Vision API, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So think of all the steps that went through. The final result was that's sitting nice
right
in OneDrive. But that actually went through maybe 12, 14. That actually went through 14 different services. We don't have to have it do that. Mm-hmm. But just to prove it, we had it do that, go through 12 or 14 different services. The end result was that that's all up there. All that was really required was two services, Cognitive Services and the Graph API. Okay? Got it?
I'm sold.
All right, so that's a lot of content. That's a lot of content in there. We went through and demoed Office Graph. I just want to talk about a couple of thoughts on this before we finish up this session. These are really what I'm calling tips and kind of tips, tricks, and thoughts for this. Number one, download Power BI for desktop. If you've got a Windows machine, download Power BI for desktop right away and start experimenting with that. Experiment with what can be shared and how. This is a confusion. So people will write a report, they'll create a tile, they have a dashboard, and they can't share it, or they can't share it the way they want. Experiment with it and get used to how you can share things. Start evaluating the code that you have right now that's using legacy SkyDrive, OneDrive, Live, and Office endpoints. This isn't true for every Office endpoint, but the truth is a bunch of your Office endpoints can be moved to Graph if you want them to. And experiment with webhooks. One thing we didn't look at here with webhooks is you could have a webhook, graph-based webhooks that, for example, when something is uploaded to OneDrive, you could be notified. It could even connect to a function or something else in Azure for a webhook. And start creating custom visualizations. If you really want to get to the meat as a developer of Power BI, start using Power BI Embedded and create some custom visualizations to see how fun that is. So that is a lot. One thing I'm grateful for is nobody is bugging this session with any phone calls. So that's really good. We can move on to the next session. The next session we're going to talk about, I think, is Azure Search and Luis.
Luis, very, very cool stuff.
Session. Two more areas that folks are not too familiar with. So anything else?
I'd say let's take a 10-minute break?
Let's do it. We'll take a 10-minute break, guys, and we'll be back here to talk about Azure Search and Luis, pronounced correctly. See you then.